This, these last three chapters, chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, are very essential for us understanding prophecy. And we need to get these thoroughly in our mind. The arrangement of time, the Gentile times when they're over, the usurpation of the Gentiles, all these things are so important that we get through our mind before we get into the book of Revelation. Now, let's begin with the fourth. We left off with the third verse of Daniel last week. And remember, this is in time. We might guess back just a little bit, verse 36 of the chapter before, and we can see a definite change pertaining to the end time. And I'm not going to read this. We read it just last week, but verses 36 on to 12, verse 3, is all pertaining to the last days or the end time, in which all the others are a picture, are looking forward to this time. So let's begin with verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run true and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So now we come down to the consummation of the last days. Last week, I'm almost sure we read it in Isaiah chapter 2. Let's go back over there just for a minute. Isaiah 2. I just want to call our attention to some verses that we read. Verses 2. I'll read from verse 2 of chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now this is down in the last days of Israel. See, this had nothing to do with the church at all. But come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and in me, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. This is the into the Lord's house that will be established on the mount. And many shall go and say. Now this word many is the remnant of Israel that will be saved. And they'll go invite other nations, and they'll say to them, come ye, let us go up to the mount of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So Israel, the remnant that is left over, will invite other nations, and notice the pronouns that follow this, we and us, as though one worship, one time of worship, or one continuous worship, actually. But there will be special pilgrimages to that. And notice here, Zion, out of Zion the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And if you study this out, everywhere you read Zion as reference to Jerusalem, not Independence, Missouri. And he shall judge from among the nation, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, all their war equipment into agricultural equipment, so that they can grow their own food. And they'll not lift up sword. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn of war any more. So God is going to make a great change in the last days, in the end time. Getting back to our lesson in Daniel, this book was to be shut up, sealed. As we read it in another place later on, we'll read that God told him to seal up this book, even to the time of the end. Now, since this time, until around the turn of the century, this book has been a shut book. God began to reveal this to people in the early 1900s. Before that time, preachers would just say, oh, well, don't let it bother you. We don't understand it either. And pass it off. And God began to reveal these truths to people in the early part of this century. So up to then, it's been a sealed book and a closed book. Then we read that many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now this word many refers to the word wise in verse 3. Many wise people, many those that are searching the word of God, they'll understand by searching is what I'm trying to say. Remember in John chapter 5, Joe, you start looking up for me. John 5:39 says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. See, they were relying upon a book rather than what the book was talking about. Read that for me.
Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
So the word is that they were searching. They didn't see the Christ in that word. Now they search the word, they look for Christ. And this is a secret, especially in the Old Testament, because so many people miss it. And we should be able to open the Bible anywhere from Genesis to Revelation and see Christ in it. There's another verse in Luke 24, Lord, Luke 24:27, I believe it is. He was talking to his friends there, and read that for me.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
All right, read 32 with it now.
And they said one to another, did not your heart burn within us while you talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
So he opened the scriptures and revealed himself to them, and they knew who he was. And especially, and then he broke the bread too, and they saw who he was. So this book will be a seal book, and then God will begin to reveal it to people. The remnant will see Jesus, see, in the Old Testament. And so they'll go everywhere looking, searching for things concerning the Word of God. Now, Paul tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And by the way, that word study, I can't remember the Greek word, but the derivative is from argon, which means to work hard, to sweat, to labor. So it isn't doing something easily, and it isn't just reading the Bible, it's studying, it's hard work, putting out some effort in it. So many will do this, and knowledge, the knowledge of Christ, will increase. They'll be seeing spiritual things. Then in verse 5, and I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two on this side of the bank of the river, and the other that on that side of the bank of the river. Now we're introduced two more people. In chapter 10, I believe it was verse 4, he was on the bank of the river Adikal. And then in 11, we have the same river, the same vision. So we add two more people to this vision. I don't really know who these two are. I can tell you who I believe they are. I believe they're simply witnesses of Christ. I can't prove who they are. Some people say they were angels and different others. It's just hard for me to see him explaining this to angels. Peter tells us that the angels have a desire to look into these things. I personally think that the numerical value of this is what's important. Two men. Two is a number of witness in the scriptures. Anyway, we know who the other one is. The one in verse 6, the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters, standing upon the waters. See, waters speak of unstableness. When you stand on something, you have control of it. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, which we've had before, standing upon the waters of the river. And then a question is given of these other men. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Now, this is what Daniel was at. That's what he wanted to know, too. See, Daniel knew about these things now. He had had different visions, and God had revealed to him that the nations were coming and the Gentile times were at hand. But what he didn't know was how long. And so here's the question again. How long shall it be until the end of these wonders? Now the word wonders here comes from a Hebrew word that means something that is marvelous, something outstanding. It really has reference to the things that God has done, how marvelous they are. And this is used several places in the scriptures. When it uses a verb, Sharon, Exodus 15:1, is a good example of how this same word is used as a verb. Greg, Psalms 77:11, Mary, Psalms 89:5. Now, this is the same word as we have for wonder. All right, Exodus 15:1.
Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea.
Yeah, so we have the word glorious there, don't we? A wonder. Look what he's done. The horse and the rider he cast into the sea. This is his marvelous work that he done in bringing them out of Egypt. Psalms 77:11.
I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old.
See, there it's identified with the works of the Lord again. And then while you're right there, read verse 14.
Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people.
Here it's identified with his strength being identified, being among the people. Then Psalms 89:5.
And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints.
So it's worthy, his works are worthy to be praised, aren't they? You know, wherever. Now, let's use the word as a noun. Karina, Isaiah 9:6. And we'll get back over here to Joe again and look up Judges 13:18. We might as well go on and give out some more while we're looking those up. Lauren, Psalms 139:6. Now, all these are pertaining to how this word is used, what God is doing, and what he is. All right, Isaiah 9:6. Now this is how it's used as a noun.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
His first name there is Wonderful.
Wonderful.
What God has done, what God is doing, and what God's going to do. That's his name. Wonderful. Now, let's use the same word as an adjective in Judges
18. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name? Seeking it is secret.
Well, here the word is translated secret when using an adjective. And or he could say, My name is wonderful. This is what I am. Then in Psalms 139:6.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it.
It's far above our minds, isn't it? It's too wonderful for me. My mind can't contain it. I can't understand it. I can't see it. And so the works of God, how wonderful they are. And so the question that we have here is, how long shall it be to the end of your wonderful works, your marvelous things that you're doing? Now that's quite an attitude to have when God, when all we've been talking about here for a while is terrible time coming upon Israel. And yet looking beyond the terrible time, looking on the other side of the doings of God, what can we say but they're wonderful and marvelous? And oh, that we learn that through trials in our life. Don't look at the thing, look beyond at the promises of God, and they'll be wonderful. Well, this is what we see. And I didn't want to spend that much time in it, but then in verse 7, And I heard of the man clothed with linen, was on the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever, that it should be for a time and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of thy holy people, all these things shall be finished, or fulfilled. Brought to an end. So we have an answer to the question coming straight from the Lord himself. Now, notice that he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever. There is no greater to swear by than God. And Jesus said, don't swear by people or by heaven or earth or any of those things. They're not big enough. They're not great enough to do any good. Only God can swear by himself. Revelation 10:1, I believe it is. We have a similar incident there, and that angel is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did similar to that.
And I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire.
All right, this is the same one. I was thinking he lifted up his...
And he had, let's see.
Stood 1 foot upon the land and 1 foot upon the sea and lifted up his...
Yeah, he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Yeah.
So only Christ has the power to control situations and control things. So here we read that he's actually swearing by himself.
It's verse 6.
Verse 6, all right. Read that too.
And swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there shall be delay no longer.
The one, the creator. And we also read in the scriptures that all things were made by him and for him, and without him were not anything made that was made. So he swore by himself that there would be to be for a time and a half time. Now, time is a year. Time is plural, would be 2 years, and a half time would be a half of a year. So we have 3.5 years that they would have to suffer, that they would have to go through before the end time. And we'll talk about that a little later on at the end of this chapter. But there's 3.5 years, or 1,260 days, or 42 months, whichever one you want to call it. And when he, now the word he, referring to the Antichrist, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. In other words, to bring their power down to nothing, to where they have to cry out for God. The Antichrist will do this. All these things shall be finished, and Christ will come at that time and finish the work. So here's the answer. How long shall these things be? When shall be the end, you see? Well, we have the same question, and we'll be looking in that again, but I'm not going to read it now. But in Matthew 24:3, there's three questions is asked Jesus by the disciples. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And what will be the consummation of the age? This same question here is answered there. In Acts 1, I think it's verse 6, Peter said, Lord, will thou restore at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said unto him, it's none of your business when I'm going to do it. Thank you, King James, for you says it's not for you to know when God has it in his power to do these things. But you get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what I want you to do. This is an interesting question of when these things will be and when the finish is going to be. Well, Jesus will bring the finish when it comes at the consummation of the tribulation. Puts an end to the Antichrist and all these things. And at that time, they'll beat their plowshares into swords and their spears and the pruning hooks. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? How devastated Daniel must have been in all these things. I heard, but I understood not. The thing that he wanted to understand was that the time that these things would be, and 3.5 years from the time that Satan is cast down, and the remnant gets a vision of their Messiah, you know, sees him, to the end, all satanic power will be gone at that time. But you see, Daniel couldn't understand this. We understand it because we're living in the end time. It's so close, easy for us to understand. But then he cried out, oh my God, oh my Lord, rather, oh my ruler, oh my controller. This word is Adon, or Adonai would be what we would have in the nominative, I guess. So what and when is the thought. And let's look in verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up, and the seal and sealed until the time of end. And again, he brings this to our attention. This, Daniel, is a long, long time. Go thy way. The phrase here, go thy way, has to do with a road of life, a course of life. Finish the course of your life, Daniel. This is a sealed book until the end time. We're living in the end time. We're living at the threshold. That's why we can understand it. Many shall be purified by the furnace of judgment, by the furnace of the tribulation, you see. Many referring to Israel, shall be purified. Gold is purified. Job said, when I'm tried, I shall come forth at Greg. Job 23:10 said, when I'm tried, I can't quote that, shall come forth like gold, furnace.
But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
Now this is the whole nation, including the remnant. You see, he reigns upon the just and the unjust alike. And so the remnant will suffer along with the others. Anyway, they'll be made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, or even more wickedly, trying to find ways of controlling men's destiny and men's lives and everything. And by the way, I was just reading, I don't know what, my wife cut it out of the paper and handed it to me last night. They're wanting the city of Kansas City to spend several million dollars to try transcendental meditation to stop crime in the whole city. They say within 6 months to 3 years, they can eliminate crime through this. But it isn't going to do that. The wicked is going to do wicked, more wicked. They're not. People aren't going to get any better. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. This is a remnant. This is a new creation that runs to and fro, searching the Word of God. They're going to understand things. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, an abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, here is some mathematics that God has given us to figure his work out. It starts from the time of the daily sacrifice will be taken away. Now, read in Daniel 9:27. That the daily sacrifice will be taken away in the middle of the week, don't we? In the middle of the tribulation. And so we begin at this time. So let's set our mind now on the middle of the tribulation period. Dating from there backward, 1,290 days, there'll be a covenant made. Now the tribulation is divided into two parts, 1,260 days on each side. And so this puts the covenant 30 days before the tribulation actually begin. 30 days before the covenant will be made, 30 days before the week of years starts. And so then 30 days later, the tribulation will begin, the week and of Daniel 9:27. And this is when the two witnesses will begin their witnessing. And they'll go about telling everybody that this covenant is a fraud, that this covenant is no good, and it shouldn't have been signed. They'll warn the Jews. 1,260 days later, they're going to be killed, resurrect from the dead, and taken to glory. This will be in the middle of the week then. So at the same time that the two witnesses are killed will be the same time that the daily sacrifice will be taken away. I think I'll put this on the board pretty soon. Then in verse 12, it says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. 1,335 days. In Daniel 8, who read it? Mary, look at it for me. In Daniel 8, verses 11 through 14.
Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. The place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed.
Starting then from the beginning of the 7 years, plus 30 days, starting at 30-day part when the covenant is made, the Antichrist is going to start his work. And for 2,300 days, which would take us down to the end of the tribulation, see, we have 1,290 days, 1,260 days, and this would be 2,520 days plus 30 days, wouldn't it? I didn't add that up, but that's what it would, I think that's what it would add up to. 2,550 days. Well, we subtract 2,300 days from 2,550 days, we end up with 250 days. Now, that's how much the tribulation is going to be shortened, 250 days. And the beast will reign 1,260 days, or 42 months anyway. So you see, his reign is going to remain. So you take that 1,260 days from the very end, which has already been shortened 250 days, and move that all up. That makes him, let me put that on the board. All right, here's 7 years, or 2,520 days. So we'll divide that into two, and that gives us 1,260. According to 360 days, that we, you know, we went through that calendar
right
earlier of how we getting how God dates things. From starting at the middle of the week, which we read in Daniel 9:27, when the daily sacrifice will be taken away, we start then, and we go back 1,290 days, which takes us 30 days beyond here, doesn't it? Now, at that point, if we go back this way, 2,300 days gives us 250 days short of that. So we shorten this whole thing then, 250 days. Starting at that point and coming back then, 1,260 days, which the beast will reign, that's Revelation 11, 2, 12, 13. But anyway, the beast is going to reign 42 months or 1,260 days. So that makes this point here 250, doesn't it? From the middle of the week. And it'll be at this time then that Satan's going to be cast out of heaven. Revelation 12. At that point, 12, I forget the verse, but he'll be cast out of heaven. And when he's cast out, he'll enter into a man, which will be the Antichrist then. And so that will be the reign of the Antichrist will start at that time.
And that will be 250 days before the middle of the week.
For the middle of the week is when Satan will enter into the man that will be the Antichrist, or the beast as we know it. Now we have another figure here in verse 12 of 1,335 days. So we begin, we're starting from here then. 1,335, which would take us 75 days beyond that time there, wouldn't it?
The entire 7 years.
Huh?
75 days past the entire 7 years.
Right. Sure about it. See, I still don't go out to here. I still don't go out to here. I still don't go out there, because that's 250 days, so that would be 175 days, wouldn't it, short of the full length of time. All right. Well, you say, what happens this 75 days? Well, this is the day of the, Peter calls it in Acts 2, when he's talking, he calls it a great and notable day of the Lord, when he talked to them at Pentecost. He says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Corinne, you read that for me. Acts 2, read 17 through 20, I guess. I don't know, around in there. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel in the last days. See, this is Israel's last days, not the church's last day. This is beyond. This is the extension of the church's last day. The church's last day should have stopped way back over here, but they didn't. So this is usurpation of the church.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall burn into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Now, this is a time of rejoicing, you see. After the tribulation is over, God begins to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and they'll prophesy, and it'll be a time of rejoicing after that. Now let's look up some more verses. Joel 2:11. Lord and Zechariah 14:5-7. Now these are all pertaining of the same time. Joel 2:11.
And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?
We'll read through 13.
Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil.
Now read on down verses 31 and 32 of the same chapter.
The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
And so this 75 days, again, is a time of rejoicing, because what God has done to the armies and all these things reminds us when they come upon the land in the 15th chapter of Exodus, and they sang a song, the horse and the rider as he thrown into the sea. See, this will be similar to that. All right, Zechariah 14.
And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azar. You shall flee, like as you flee from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that all evening time it shall be light.
Won't that be wonderful? See all the changes that God is going to make during that time too, in the world conditions. There'll be no night. Everything's going to be a little bit of both. Anyway, this is going to this last 75 days will be a time of offering sacrifices, a time of rejoicing, a time of singing and worshiping the Lord. And blessed is he that continues unto this time. See? Now, not all are going to continue. Some are going to be slain during the tribulation. So there'll be a blessed people that will be able to go through the tribulation, endure this tribulation. This definitely tells us what it is. Into what? Into Gentile time, till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So he would go by the way of the grave, that's the rest, and stand in his lot, or his place, the place that God's going to give him. Now, we read in, and I don't know where it is, and off the top of my head, which I'm trying to think. But Jesus told his disciples, he said, ye shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And we see them in the foundation of the holy city in Revelation 21. We see their names written in the foundation, I believe it is now. But Israel's going to have their dot. Not Daniel will have his lot too at that time, 21:12. Is it the foundation?
Well, it's had a wall great and high. And had
the wall instead of the foundation. I thought I was wrong in that when I said it, but that ends Daniel.